We'll lead here with the announcement today of Australia's great Bitcoin auction. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It'll be like a sheriff's auction of cars seized from criminals. More than 24,000 bitcoins will go up for auction in Australia next month, a trove of virtual currency seized by authorities there from some unidentified crook or set of crooks. That news today from the financial services firm Ernst & Young, which will be running the Bitcoin auction, the first for a government outside the U.S. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin is following the story for us. Good morning, Jonathan.
Morning, David.
So tell us about this official auction. What's Australia up to?
Australian authorities have recovered some 24,000 Bitcoin earned through criminal activity. And whereas when money's recovered from a crime, those funds typically go to the government of a country or get redistributed to victims of the crime, when the proceeds are in Bitcoin, the government needs to convert the digital currency into hard dollars first. The Bitcoins up for auction towards the end of June are worth something like $11.5 million. This isn't the first time we've seen a sell-off of Bitcoin recovered from criminal activity, though. US Marshals auctioned off more than, I think, 170,000 Bitcoins last year and the year before, confiscated after the closure of Silk Road.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you gave that big number for how much this auction could fetch. That is a reminder that the Bitcoin market is pretty strong right now.
Yeah, Bitcoin is at its highest value in 20-odd months. It had a bit of a run over the weekend, rising it by 15% and touching $530 or so. I think it boils down to a few factors. People are becoming more and more comfortable with the idea of Bitcoin as a currency. Bitcoin transactions themselves have quadrupled since 2012. So you could say that the market's maturing a bit. Some analysts are also seeing a significant increase in interest from China. One recent report estimates that trades involving Chinese yuan now account for 95% of Bitcoin's trading volume, which is up from around 80% this time last year.
The BBC's Jonathan Frewin in London. Thank you for this.
Oh, you're most welcome.
A Bitcoin costs just under $537 at the moment. U.S. stock and bond markets are closed today to observe Memorial Day. It's a bank holiday in Britain as well. The Germans are at it. The DAX index in Frankfurt is up 0.25% at the moment. The often volatile Nikkei index in Japan rose 1.2%. The dollar is down in Europe, with the euro up to $1.114. Well, I'm working this morning. At this hour, it is possible you are also working on this national holiday. And here is further proof that we are one vacation-challenged nation. A new survey from a card comparison site called creditcards.com finds only 44% of us will take a vacation this summer, Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
Why aren't more people taking time off? Matt Schultz is an analyst with creditcards.com.
I really think that it's further proof that Americans just are very debt averse still.
The economy has come back for some people, not so much for others. And when budgets are tight, a vacation is one of the first things crossed off the list, says Abigail Sussman. She teaches marketing at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business.
You're going to want a separate pool of money to spend on that, right? It's not going to be an expense that's going to slip under the radar.
In fact, the creditcards.com survey found that 80% of people who do plan to take a vacation say they'll dip into savings. But staying put isn't always about money. Stuart Friedman studies work-life integration at Wharton Business School.
Well, it's probably the result of people feeling like they have to be on all the time in order to satisfy the demands of their employers.
Why bother hitting the beach when you're just going to be on your phone the whole time, furiously replying to your boss? I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
Now to signs that the boom in the technology business is getting long in the tooth. Signs, if not senescence, then that things are cooling off some in torrid Silicon Valley. Reporter Jessica Plotchek has the story.
One sign of the tech boom: if you could code and had a pulse, you had a job. That's changed, says Stephen Bryan, an IT specialist who is unemployed.
I actually never went looking for a job. If, you know, normally when something would disappear, another door would open.
I met Brian at the Nova Job Center in Sunnyvale. It provides career advice mostly to tech workers. Chris Stadelman is the director.
The hiring itself has slowed down. And when I say that, it's compared to last year, which was not a normal year for us. Last year, the job market was roaring with job growth.
Fueling that growth was investors plowing money into startups out of FOMO, the fear of missing out. That frenzy was fueling an environment where it seemed like fat checks were thrown at any young guy with an idea and a hoodie. Scott Brosnan is a high-tech recruiter at Workbridge Associates, and he describes the startup mentality like this.
A million people walk into a bar, don't spend one dime, and the owner considers it success.
But that attitude is changing as investors are becoming more cautious. Funding is slowing and startups are folding.
I don't think we need 30 food delivery companies in Silicon Valley.
Eric Boitois is a veteran venture capitalist in downtown Palo Alto. Boitois doesn't use the words tech bubble or bust in reference to the valley. Instead, he describes it as...
The valuations are becoming frosty.
He's saying frothy. That's the term for when startups are valued at much more than they're worth. Unlike a bubble, froth doesn't pop. It subsides. Boitois thinks that could be a good thing. As companies with bad business models flop, viable startups can sweep up talented workers.
As I say, it's typically Silicon Valley. There is always this up and down. So that's the way why this place is so creative and so energetic.
In Palo Alto, I'm Jessica Plachek for Marketplace.
And before we go, New York's JFK Airport last night, a Verizon telecommunications failure mixed with all that holiday travel. Gate agents writing out boarding passes by hand. It started about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon in Terminal 7. One check-in line reportedly had about 1,500 people in it. The terminal has British Airways, Qantas, Iberia, Air Canada, Iceland Air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.